going to be getting right into the scriptures here. I've got a good message. Again, a lot of new faces. So if you're visiting with us, either for the baby dedication, your first time here this morning, I'm in the middle of a series called Becoming Sons. Everybody say that with me. Becoming Sons. Everybody say it. Come on. Becoming Sons. Becoming Sons. So Jesus in John chapter 1, just a little bit of review here. Jesus in John chapter 1 says that, or speaking of Jesus, can you turn this mic down just a little bit? I'm getting some ring up here. So, but speaking about Jesus, it says that all who receive him, meaning Jesus, he's given them the right to become the children of God. Right, so that means when we get saved, when we say yes to Jesus, this legal transaction occurs in heaven. Amen. And as far as God is concerned, we're adopted to him. And then the journey of salvation, a lot of it is about learning to be a son of God. Amen. So we're going to get out of Galatians this morning. I've been in Galatians for 4 weeks. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7 if you want to turn there. And we're going to spend just a few moments this morning looking at some more of Paul's writing about this. Say amen when you're there. All right, so chapter 7, verse 14 of the book of Romans says this, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Everybody say it's spiritual. "But I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate." How many of us know this passage? You've been in church a little while, you heard this one before, right? Verse 16, "If I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me," Paul says. "I find then a principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members." Verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the laws of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin." Amen. How many people have ever looked in the mirror and thought verse 24 about yourself? "Oh, wretched man that I am." Right? Even if you've never even been in church ever your entire life, I'm sure there's been at least once or twice that we've looked in the mirror and gone, "What is wrong with me?" Right? Something happens at work. Something happens with your family. Something happens whatever, right? And you just, man, what is, there's something wrong. Amen. Yeah? So I'm going to recap this section here of Paul just quickly and tie a couple thoughts together. Paul says here that the law is spiritual, amen, and that the law is good. When we do what we don't want to do, Paul says, we are agreeing that the law is good. But what's the good? Here's the question, church. What's the good that we're agreeing with according to Paul? All right, so he's saying when I sin, I'm actually agreeing with the law that it's good. Right, but if you remember last week, most of you were here last week, we talked about the law and what is the law really intended to do according to the Bible. The law, we looked at last week or the week before, the law is a tutor to lead us to Christ, right? So it means it's not a teacher, it's helping us to learn something that the teacher wants to tell us. The teacher is God. The law is a tutor helping us to get something that God wants us to get, right? So the law, what we're agreeing with that the law is good is that the law is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, which is tell us that we're sinners and we need a Savior. Yeah? The law, church, is supposed to make us feel bad. How many people like that? Yes, man, that's what I wanted to hear Sunday morning. Amen, right? The law is supposed to make us feel bad. The law is supposed to make us feel like, wow, I failed. I've fallen short. Amen. I'm going to prove it to you. Ready? Go to chapter 5. Back up just two chapters, a couple of pages. And I want to show you something here that's just, I was like, blew my mind. Yeah? Verse 12, chapter 5. Say amen when you're there. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world. Who's that one man, everybody? Shout it out. Adam, right? And death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Do you understand what Paul's saying there? Even though I didn't do what Adam did, I'm still a sinner because I'm from the DNA of Adam. Adam is my father, so the Bible says that God visits iniquity onto the third and the fourth generations unto all those who disobey the Lord. So just because I'm a human being, Adam was the father of all mankind. Adam and Eve were on earth, that's it. They had kids, and they kept multiplying. So in a weird way, guys, we're actually all related. That's kind of weird, ain't it? All of us that look so different, skin tones and hair types and all the stuff. Well, I look like this because I'm from Europe, or I look like this. No. You just look, we're all related, the Bible says. Is that right, church? Yeah? Verse 15 says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. Everybody say free gift. You got to earn it if it's free? Just got to receive it, right? For if by the transgression of the one man many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift, everybody say gift? By the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. Say this with me, church. The judgment arose from one transgression. One. The one transgression of Adam released sin and death onto mankind forever. One transgression. Right? Hang on, I lost my spot. 16, right? But, everybody say but. On the other hand, the free gift, everybody say free gift, arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, who's the one? Adam, right? Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. What is righteousness, church? It's what? A gift, right? Do I got to work for a gift? Nope. I just got to receive it, right? So what's Paul saying? Is righteousness something I got to work out? Or is righteousness something I've got to receive as a gift and let it start working in me? I can't work it out, church. I got to let it work out in me, right? Why does Paul say work out your salvation? Because it's in you. Go work it out. I'm still getting a ring up here, you guys in the back. I don't know if y'all hear that. I do. Hang on. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Somebody should have said amen right there. That's pretty good. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, the result of justification of life to all men. Church, what's the one act of righteousness that Jesus did? He did what? Hung on the cross, man. Okay? It says he learned obedience to the things which he suffered. It doesn't mean that he suffered. He struggled with obedience every day. The obedience is the ultimate obedience, hanging on the cross. Amen. He suffered all these things getting there, but that's the one place. He's in the garden, says, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. done, not my will be done. Right? Jesus isn't saying, I don't want to save the world. He's not saying, I don't want to forgive sin. He's saying, is there an easier way to get the job done? How many of us ever prayed that? Man, there's got to be an easier way to get there. Come on. Right? But sometimes, church, we've got to suffer. Here's the best scripture in the whole passage. Verse 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Who's the one that earned our righteousness? Jesus. Can I earn it? Can I earn it, church? Can't do it. Trick of the devil to try to get you to earn something that God's already given you. Right? Look at what next. Here's verse 20. This is even better. The law came in. Everybody say, so that the transgression would increase. Remember a few weeks back, we were in Galatians, and what's Paul say about, he says that because of transgressions, the law came. But now Paul's in Romans here saying that the law came so that transgression would increase. Isn't that crazy? Who gave the law? God. Who did he give it to? Moses, all right? So did God give the law to Moses to give to the rest of the Israelites because God knew that the law was going to get them where they needed to go? No, that's not what Paul says. Paul says, this is going to make your brain hurt, all right? Just hang on. Paul says here that the law came so that the transgressions would get worse. Paul says that God gave the law to Moses. Moses gave the law to all the people so that they would sin more, not sin less. You're thinking I'm off the rails this morning. You're like, man, what did he eat this morning for breakfast? Where's he going with this one? So that, verse 21, as sin reigned in death, even so the grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The law came, according to Paul, to widen the gap between God and man, not close it. Just to make sure we're hearing this correctly, I'm going to say it one more time. The law came to increase transgressions. Why on earth, church, if God loves us so much, would he introduce something to us, give it to us, as humanity, right through Moses, that made the distance between man and God bigger? Why would God do that? So we'd realize that it's not by any works of my own that I'm in right standing with God. God puts all these requirements out there knowing that we can't do it. Is that right, church? Are you tracking with me here, right? And Paul says in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, his only son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, that we might, what, receive the promise of adoption as sons. I'm paraphrasing it slightly. But you see what I'm saying? What's the fullness of time? What was this thing that God was waiting for? You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for the sin to just be at its height. I hear people say, oh, man, we're just got such an evil society right now. You know what, church? I don't think so. I think the 2,000 years ago, approximately, was the height of sin of mankind. We were at, that was the depraved, the most depraved that man could be, because that's when Christ came. Christ, God didn't look down and say, man, I'm going to send Jesus because you guys are really, really close and you just need a little bump over the edge. He says, I'm sending Jesus down because you are as far away from me as you possibly could become. You don't care about me. The Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one. No one seeks God. No one is going after God. The Bible says no one. No one. While we were enemies of God, he sent forth his son. Man. You know what? All these other world religions, you know, church, not only does their deity does never engage the creation. So that's the difference between Christianity, right? Christianity says God sent his own son. Boom, he engaged creation, right? His own thing. He climbed inside of what he made to rescue it. There's no other religion that tells us that. You know what else does not exist in any other religion in the world? The concept of adoption does not exist. I was talking to someone the other day, Pastor Ryan. Most of you guys know Pastor Ryan. We're talking about this stuff, about adoption. And you know what he says? He goes, and he studies this stuff like crazy. He says, you know that in Muslims, Islam, he says in Islam they have 101 names for God. Okay, 101 in Islam. Not one of them means father. Not one means father. There's no relationship, right? What in Jesus, man, we're invited into a relationship with God. We're invited to be restored to his likeness. Amen. So back to Romans 7, basically what Paul's saying at the end of Romans 7 is that when we do something we don't want to do, when we sin, we agree with the law and acknowledge that the law is good because the ultimate goal of the law is to prove to each one of us that we need a Savior. Paul also says here that it's no longer him sinning, but sin dwelling in his members. I don't know. I always read that, and I think it seems to be like Paul's kind of deflecting responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Like, Paul's like, hey, you know, somebody's like, hey, Paul, why'd you do that? He says, I didn't do that. Man, that was sin in me, bro. How many of y'all think that would work in church? Hey, man, why'd you say that to your wife? I didn't say that to my wife. It's sin in my members that said that to my wife. I didn't do that to my kids. That's sin dwelling in me. I didn't do that stuff. It's no longer I that did it, but sin that dwells in me. Hey, how come you're late to church? I'm trying to get on you about something. How come you're late to work? How come you're late to work? I'm not late to work. It's sin that dwells in me that was late to work. I'm on time. Right? Come on, church. Paul's like, I don't know if he's going schizo here or what's going on with this guy, but you know what I'm realizing as I'm reading through this? You know what Paul's talking about? He's talking about the reality of being born again. Think about it. If you take the thing and sandwich in what he's talking about, we're going to go down to the chapter 8 in just a moment, but he's talking about, I'm born from Adam. Paul's the one that talks about we are born from Adam. Adam, it's the first Adam, is the sin, is the Adamic sin of man. And then this last Adam comes, he says the first Adam was a living soul, all right? And the second Adam, the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. So you know what Paul's talking about here? He says that sin, it's no longer I that sin, but sin that dwells in me. He's talking about being born again. He's like, look it, man, there's something new inside me. There's something new going on in here. And you know what? I know now that I can't do that anymore, but I still want to do it a little bit. Come on, church. Hit your thumb with a hammer and see if something nice comes out. I don't know. I've never hit my thumb with a hammer and say, praise Jesus. Yes, that felt beautiful. Right? Somebody cuts you off on the highway. I don't care how holy you are. Somebody cuts you off on the highway. The first thought is not a good one. Can I get an amen? Any of us that have children, when our children are acting special. Right, we have to filter. At home, I take timeouts now. I don't send my kids for a timeout. I take a timeout. I need a timeout, and I go into my room and shut the door, and I cry in my bed for a few minutes, and then I come out, and I'm better. So I can handle it a little better. Can I get amen on that, church, right? But sometimes our kids act special, and we're not thinking good thoughts. Right? Why, church? Because you know what? Because then we feel bad. Oh, I shouldn't think like that. Or even at the times that we escalate the volume of our voice to our children, and then it's all over and we feel bad. Can I get an amen? Am I preaching to anybody? Right? Come on, church. I got one of my kids the other day and I felt bad after. I really did. But you know what I'm thinking? I really didn't say anything too bad. But my point is, you understand my point? Sometimes we do stuff and as soon as it comes out of our mouth, we go, man, I wish I could get that one back in there. Right? This is what Paul's saying. I know what the right thing to do is, but I don't always do it. But when I don't do the right thing, I'm agreeing with the law that the law is good. Because the law is supposed to expose my sin. Right? The Holy Ghost brings conviction, right? But you know the Holy Ghost is going to bring conviction? He's going to highlight the law. Thou shalt not murder. Yeah? Does that make sense? You guys good? Verse 24, Paul asks this question, who will set me free from the body of this death? Paul's shedding light with their bless you on the fact that the righteousness of man cannot attain to right standing with God. Paul was as religious as they come. He describes himself in one of his letters as a Jew of Jews, as a, from the tribe of Benjamin, faultless according to the law, zeal like a Pharisee. But then, church, we all know this, but I'm telling it again. He calls, he wraps up all of this, all of his pedigree. He wraps it up and calls it, in the King James Bible, it says dung, D-U-N-G, all right? Poop. Paul literally calls all of his pedigree and all of his religious accomplishments garbage. They're worthless, Paul says. They even stink a little bit. He says that it's all worthless for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Think about what Paul's saying. You know what Paul's saying, church? I can either strive with all this religious striving, I can come to God through all of my works and all this stuff, or I can come to God through the gift of righteousness that's purchased for me in Jesus Christ. I can't come both ways. I know I'm hammering this home for a few weeks now, but we got to get it, man. Because you know what? As soon as we walk out the door, the devil starts going, oh, look how bad you were. Look at what you were thinking about in church today. The pastor's up there preaching, and you're thinking about cheeseburgers after lunch, man, because you didn't eat breakfast. And look what's going on. And you weren't even paying attention to and all this stuff. We go to work on Monday, and all this stuff starts going in our brains, and we can't stop thinking, going crazy. Right? And we start thinking all kinds of weird thoughts. You know what I have to learn? I learned this in Bible school. I started recognizing, wait a second, I did not think that thought. It's in there, but I didn't think that. I definitely did not want to think that thought about that lady jogging down the road. I was minding my own business. Can we just be a little real this morning? I was minding my own business. I was going to get some Starbucks, and then that girl jogged on my street that I was driving on. There's streets over here you can go jogging on. And by the way, why are you wearing those shorts with your rear end hanging out the back? For crying out loud, buy some pants that fit, man. But you know, church, for years and years and years, I would feel guilty about, oh my gosh, why am I thinking this? And I started realizing, I'm not thinking that stuff. Those are thoughts in my head, but they're not my thoughts, right? Because it's sin that's still dwelling in my members. So if it's my thoughts, then I'm going to feel badly about myself. I'm going to say, oh, I'm such a terrible person. I haven't changed at all. Right? But you know what? Once that thought comes and I think, man, I don't even like that thought. That's an ugly thought. You know why I think that? Because I realize it's not my thought. I realize it's something trying to get me off track where God wants me to be. And I need to understand that I can get a hold of that thought and say, that ain't mine. You need to get out. Because I'm born again. There's something new living inside me. I want to just go on a little sidetrack here. We got enough time. As I've been studying this a lot, the Holy Spirit propped into my head the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? You know what he's saying? Who he's talking to is people that have been under the law for 27 generations. Study it all out. 14 generations from Adam to Moses, 14 from Moses to David, 14 from David to Jesus. Right, so you got 14, the law comes in Moses. You got 28 generations. Jesus is the 28th, right? So for 27 generations, this is thousands of years, they've been living under this law that is intended to separate them from God. Where the law, right, where the law comes, transgression increases. So there's been this steady decline of intimacy with God over generation after generation. Are you tracking with me, church? Yeah? So what's going on? Jesus comes and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? Jesus comes not preaching the gospel of salvation. Jesus comes preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the Bible says, right? Salvation's in that gospel, but it's not the whole thing. The gospel is the kingdom. He says there's a new kingdom coming to the earth. Amen. There's a new covenant coming to the earth. It's not the old covenant rehashed. It's a brand new one. That's why Paul says there's not Jew or Greek. There's not this covenant or this covenant. There's a brand new one coming down. Right? Covenant of grace. Can I get amen on that? So Jesus is, you know what Jesus is saying? Blessed are you who know that you can't do it. Blessed when you realize, Lord, I cannot do it. He says, blessed are you because you got the kingdom now. That don't feel like kingdom, does it? It feels like I lost. Amen. It feels like I'm giving up. But God says, that's what you need to do. You got to give up to win. It's good. So then he goes on and he starts teaching, right? And I'm thinking about this the other day, and the Lord starts bringing all these, Jesus says, you've heard it was written of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say to you, if you hate your brother without cause, you've already committed murder in your heart, right? You've heard it said of old, there's one I was missing there, but then he says, you know, if your brother asks you a mile, go two. If he asks you for his coat, give him your tunic also, right? All these things. You know what? And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Here's what Jesus is saying. The law says this. Grace says this. The law says you shall not commit adultery, but the Spirit says, don't even think weird thoughts about that girl. Right? So as I'm thinking about all this stuff, this is why the people, at the end of that whole sermon, it's the end of chapter 7, the last thing they say to Jesus is it says that they look at him and they're amazed at his teaching. Because he's talking to them with like one with authority, not like scribes and Pharisees are doing. And the Holy Spirit said, he says, you know one of the things they're amazed by? They're looking at the law and the fact that they can't even do the law. And now Jesus is taking the law and jacking it up with some steroids. And they're going, man, if we can't even do that, how could we do that? If I'm having trouble actually sleeping around, how can I stop even thinking about sleeping around? If I'm having trouble actually not, you know, it's a real struggle not to actually kill this guy. How can I stop even thinking that I want to kill this guy? Are you tracking with me, church? You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, you know, if the law made us separate from God because where law is, transgression increases, he's saying, you know what? But the law's not the goal. The Spirit is the goal. And I got this picture in my spirit of like sitting in a big airplane, like in a recliner, just chilling up there at 30,000 feet, right? And the thing's on autopilot. I'm just looking out the window. It's nice. It's going on, right? And the Lord says to me, he says, son, if you're really led by the Holy Spirit, that's you fly 30,000 feet over the law, man. You don't even think about the law because you're above it. Can I get amen on that, church? Pastor, I'm struggling with the law because you're trying to work it out in your flesh, man. You got to get in the Spirit because the Holy Ghost will always lead you to a place where you're not just squeaking past the law hoping you don't get caught. You're flying way above it. You're looking, hey, is that the law way down there? I can't even tell. I don't know. What do you think, honey? I don't know. Because it's grace, church. Supernatural power. Is that good? Romans chapter 8, almost done. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So we're going to tie this all together. So remember, at the end of chapter 7, Paul says, who will free me from this body of death? Amen? And he says, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. So now we go to 8, 1. He says, therefore is what? Therefore is because of Jesus, right? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me just correct this a little bit because, man, we're making a mess out of this one in church today. Church, it says condemnation. It does not say there's no correction. It doesn't say there's no discipline. It doesn't say there's no submission to authority. It doesn't say there's no respect. It doesn't say we're not going to treat folks right. It doesn't say we're never going to get in trouble. It says there's no condemnation. Condemnation, church, is a final determination of eternal damnation. That's what condemnation means. So if somebody goes and commits a murder, they're condemned to prison for the rest of their life, right? It's a final act of judgment made by the judge. What does Paul say? Because in Christ Jesus, there is now therefore no condemnation if you're in him. That eternal damnation of hell, yes, I said H-E, double hockey sticks in church, hell, we don't preach about hell anymore, but it's a real place according to the Bible. He says that condemnation no longer applies to you if you know Jesus. Right? He says, guess what? You're still going to get spanked in church. You're still going to have to behave yourself and all that. All that stuff ain't gone. That's good preaching. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, church, say it with me, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. We were talking about this on Wednesday night, right? Man, we were getting excited on Wednesday night. Church, I tell you what, I was reading that this week. I think those are the most powerful two words in the whole New Testament. God did. You know what? I'm a son of God because God did it. You know what? One of the reasons we have so much trouble accepting sonship? Because of our pride. Because as Americans, man, we got to work it out. I got to earn this stuff. I got to work hard. I got to do. We don't lack, as Americans, we don't lack receiving free stuff. Well, so I do, but some folks don't, man. Some folks, it's amazing. You want to give stuff to folks, and they're like, no, 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 I don't deserve that. I'm like, oh, I do. I'll take it. For real. Man, you want to give me free stuff? Bring it on. Church, do you understand, man? God, through Jesus Christ, paid the ultimate price for every sin that ever committed. One act of disobedience rose curse for everyone, and then millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of transgressions produced grace and a gift of salvation. What? Jesus paid the sin for every human, billions and billions and billions of them, that ever were and ever will be. And then he says it's a gift. Take it. Man, why would we reject that? For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Church, I got to show you this for just another moment. Verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, what does Paul say? Jesus came and did what to sin? Condemned it, right? So guess what? In the Greek, in the original language, verse 1 is a noun, verse 3 is a verb. That's the only difference. It's the same Greek word. So what God is saying is that the thing that we couldn't beat, which was sin and the law of sin and death, which condemned us forever to hell forever, Jesus came, took that condemnation off of man, and then placed that condemnation on sin. So that sin is now what is receiving this permanent judgment of destruction. Isn't that good? Yeah? Almost done. Verse 4 says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset in the flesh is what, church? Why do we keep thinking that way? Man, if we know that the mindset in the flesh is death, why do we think about so much fleshly stuff? Like we're just born again, working it out. Right? We're just born again to work. Man, stop thinking about that. Stop worrying about that, right? What does Jesus say? Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Right? What do we worry about every day, church? What we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live. Come on, man. I mean, that's a real simple commandment from Jesus, and we violate it pretty much every single day. Is that right? Maybe you don't fit in those three things, but we think about, Oh my gosh, the car broke down. How am I going to pay for the car? Oh my gosh, the kids got camp. I'm going to pay for camp. It's all money, right? It's all about money. What am I going to do with money? I'm money this, money that. Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. Right? That's flesh. Setting my mind on the flesh. Amen? For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Just a few more verses, church, and we're all done. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness, mine or his? But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead also will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You know, the Greek phrase, church, for mortal bodies right there literally means your body that's dying. Paul says in another spot, though outwardly we waste away, inwardly we're being made new every day. Right? I'm all for praying for healing, man, but you know what? There's lots and lots of guys in the Bible that died and got sick and died that were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? We got to stop getting mad, man, just because something's wrong with your body. That's what the Bible says. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Inward, we're getting made new again every day. Can I get amen on that? I prefer to be healthy and strong to the day that I go home, but I don't know. Maybe I won't be. Amen? Verse 14 to 15, then we'll wrap up right here. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Church, sin is certainly real. And we're tempted every day with something. Can I get amen? I look at nobody, just be honest, right? The truth is, if you're breathing, something's going to tempt you. Something's going to come at you, trying to get you to look at something you shouldn't be looking at, thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking about, listening to something you shouldn't be listening to, amen, prioritizing things that maybe you should not be prioritizing. Yeah? Look it, man, there's 24 hours in a day. You can't get more. That's all you got. 7 days a week. I got to choose, pick and choose what's going to take priority in my life. Is that right? She's having fun. All right. She's like, oh, I got caught. But if we hear what Paul is saying, church, we will start to see that the solution to sin isn't slavery, it's sonship. Listen to this. Slaves will do just enough so they don't get in trouble. Slaves will do just enough so they don't get in trouble. They will not go above the minimum requirements because they know that they don't have an inheritance. Orphans will not go above and beyond. They will not extend themselves because they don't have an inheritance. Yeah, I'm just going to lay this out here. We got some folks visiting us. Just take this as it is. I've been grinding this for a few weeks now. I've been trying to figure out how to say it. I'm just going to say it. Whatever you are doing, whether you come to this church or go to a different church or don't go to church at all, whatever you're doing in your life for the Lord or for the church you go to, listen to this. Okay, I'm not asking you to do more. What I'm asking is, are you doing what you're doing to the best of your ability? Are you doing what you're doing with everything you got? Okay, because you know what? That's what a son does. A son will go above. Because a son knows that when I go above and beyond for my father, I'm actually investing into my own future. Is that right, church? Right? A son knows that if I continue to build my father's stuff, that eventually all the things that I'm building is going to come to me. Slaves don't do that because they ain't got nothing. Right? So I'm just going to challenge you. The Holy Spirit's challenging me. Are you doing what you're doing in the house of God and in the kingdom of God? Are you doing it like a son or like a slave? Because a slave will do just enough to not get in trouble. Sons invest and go above. Yeah, church? So you hear me. I'm not asking you to do more. I'm asking, are you doing what you're doing with everything you got? Amen. Sons will look to the Father knowing that whatever they invest will be given back. Sons long to please the Father. Sons long to bring glory to the Father. Sons know their inheritance is certain. They are confident in difficult times. They are bold in the face of opposition. They are calm in the midst of storms and trials. Amen. What the law couldn't do, God did. Church, what's really the ultimate thing the law can't do? You know what? I've said it for several weeks in a row. The law cannot make you a son. Only God can. Only God can. Me working harder ain't going to make me a son. It's going to make me a slave. I'm going to burn out. But me going vertical and just receiving that free gift of intimacy with God, that free gift of relationship with God, that makes me a son and it makes me strong. And I can go above and beyond, and I can do anything if I'm a son. Amen? Let's stand up to our feet. Thank you all for coming this morning. All of our guests, we really appreciate it. Hope you were blessed. So, Father, we just want to take a moment to acknowledge you, acknowledge your presence. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get this, God, that sonship is the goal. Sonship is what the Holy Spirit came to produce. The Holy Spirit's not here just to anoint me, not to just give me gifts. He's here to give me an identity as a son of God. Because, Lord, if I can exercise gifts all day long and not make it, but I can't be a son and not make it. So, Lord, help us to see that sonship is what's the most important. That's the goal. So, Lord, I just want to take another moment here. I know that there's possibly some folks here that are not saved. You've never said yes to Jesus Christ, and I want to just take a moment. If you're here this morning and you've never been in church, if you've been in church before and you think maybe it's been a little bit more traditional, but the Bible talks about getting saved, and that's saying yes to Jesus Christ. It's saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that. You know, the preacher up there said some stuff this morning that, I don't know, it just made sense to me. You know, the first time I went to church, I was 20 years old, and I didn't have this, it wasn't this huge experience, but the preacher said some things that I said, man, that just makes sense. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't have some big lightning bolt experience right there. I think, man, this kind of makes some sense. And so, Lord, I just want to take a moment. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you cannot definitely say that when I die, I'm going to heaven because I said yes to Jesus Christ. If you don't know that and you'd like to do that this morning, I just want to ask you to raise your hand, and we just want to pray with you. It's very simple, nothing to be afraid of. Amen. We'll just take a moment. Amen. Does anyone like to receive the Lord as their Savior? Nobody? Amen. Well, Father, we just want to take, I ask that everyone that here does not know you, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, scriptures say that nobody comes to the Son unless the Father first draws him. So, Lord, we thank you that you're going to start drawing those people. No matter what they believe, no matter what somebody here might believe this morning, God, that you're going to start working on them and draw them to that place because you love every single one of us, Father. You don't want anyone to perish. You don't want anyone to wander around on the earth with that orphan heart. So, Lord, we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just pronounce a blessing over everyone that's here this morning. I ask that they have an awesome week, Lord. We pray for VBS just for a moment. Let it be an awesome week where these kids have a great time. Let it be just a time of where they learn, they grow, they change. And, Father, that we even speak to the weather. We're asking those couple days of rain, let it go somewhere else. Just go down the street or something. Let it be sunny right here so we can go outside and have some fun. In Jesus' name, have a good week, you guys. Be blessed. Thank you so much for coming out.